welcome to another episode of the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, and our podcast. My name's Alan Wurz. This show is dunking its way to you, courtesy of our kind and friendly sponsor, Phil Shelley, of allfootballshirts.com. In a week which marks the 100th anniversary of Brighton's first ever Football League match, a 2-0 defeat away at Southend United in the newly formed Division 3 South, one wonders what Lewis Dunk has to do to get into the England squad. However, we as fans must rejoice that his choice to stay with Brighton over cashing in and heading off to a club that Gareth Southgate has actually heard of will ultimately leave the skipper an all-time legend here at the Amex. We also say thank you and goodbye to Aaron Moy, who was with us for what seemed like a very fleeting moment as he signs permanently for Shanghai SIPG FC. His goal against AFC Bournemouth, arguably his shining moment of the season. We also said thank you and goodbye and gracias y buena suerte to Martin Montoya, who left us this week for Seville, where he joins Real Betis. Also this week, the most progressive club in the Football League will be trialling the return of fans to football stadia, with 2,500 tickets having been made available for the friendly with Chelsea this weekend. There will be many rules and regulations alien to our usual Amex visit, and the eyes of the football world will be watching to see how we cope. And in local football, we ask, what on earth is going on at former County League side Southwick Football Club, one of the oldest clubs in Sussex? To discuss that and more, we welcome back the Albion's former poet in residence, and no stranger to this programme, or my telephone, John Bain, a.k.a. Attila the Stockbroker. And we welcome for the first time Tony Kybet of the Sussex FA and chairman of the newly formed community interest company, Southwick Football Club 1882. Gentlemen, welcome to the Albion Roar. Thanks for coming on.
Hi, Al. Nice to see you.
Good to see you, Tony. Tony, now obviously this is your first time on the Albion Roar. Thanks for coming on. I've got to say that obviously we do these broadcasts, these recordings on Zoom. So sometimes some are a bit muffly and some are a bit not quite radio quality. So if you can just bear with Tony. But Tony, like I say, welcome to the Roar. Give us your Albion supporting history, if you could.
Well, I'm born and bred in Eastbourne, a fervent Eastbourne United fan. And my first visit to the Goldstone was in the 60s. I went to the Senior Cup final against Whitehawk and stood on the East Terrace. And Whitehawk beat us 4-0. I went home crying. That's the first time the boy from Eastbourne found the football ground. Thankfully, when I came out of the Navy in 70, foreign leave for the Navy in 69, I met a Hove girl and the rest is history. I used to walk along the old Shawm Road to the Goldstone. Wonderful days.
So is it like a lot of people feel when they, I mean, I can tell this of people who started going in the sort of 70s and 80s, but when you first started going, did you go with a sense of awe or were you dragged along or, you know, did you, when you saw the, I mean, obviously when you're going up over the East Terrace, quite high up, did you sort of like look in wonder or you think, oh, this will do? Tell us about how you felt.
Yeah, just wonderful, just the opportunity to go. And I can remember when I, in the car, used to go along the old Shawm Road and go, oh, the scaffolding's up. It's on Match of the Day. And all the big match, you know, run home and tell.
You had no idea before that, did you? Yeah. You know, nowadays when we've got television at every single game, you just had no idea as to who was going to be on Match of the Day. And it was quite exciting to see the scaffolding.
I had a season ticket, so I had the privilege of going to reserve team fixtures. Yep. At the Goldstone, and there was a young boy who played in the reserves called Peter Ward.
Remember him?
And so I decided to go to Hereford to watch his debut. We all know about that. Mm-hmm. Shame that Dixon McNeely equalised, but we got on the train and we got back for Match of the Day, and it was a second match on, Hereford versus Brighton Hove Albion. And they didn't show us the bull parading around the ground before the game. The prize.
Yeah, I remember that in 97, John, you were there at Hereford in 97, weren't you?
I certainly was, absolutely. It's funny what you're saying about, what Tony was just saying about this, the old season tickets. They were green. It was a great big carnet of green season tickets. And you could go, obviously, that was the season ticket for the home match, but it also had the tickets for the reserves in as well. So when I was a little kid, I really remember this well. You know, you go 1 week with my dad when I was about six or seven, I found it really, really exciting. And then the next week I'll go and I said, Poppy, why is there so fewer people here? And he'd say, well, the last week was the first team and today it's the reserves. And so, you know, anyway, and of course, at the same time, this is where the Southwick thing comes in, because often when Brighton weren't playing, instead of going to watch Brighton Reserve, we'd go and watch the Wickers and sit in the old wooden stand. Which used to be rocking sometimes. I mean, we'll talk about some Wickers memories later, but I know I want to talk about, you want to talk about Dunkey and stuff, don't you? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll get to Southwick and try and avoid the solicitors later, but this week, John, I mean, you know, all right, you know, we know that you and I don't know about you, Tony, you know, we're Brighton fans above and beyond England fans, but you'd still actually consider that you'd be, you know, we'd be delighted if Lewis Dunk went to play for England. And yet, you as a Brighton player, you think there is little more else he can do to actually be in Gareth Southgate's plans.
Well, it's extraordinary because we, you know, I mean, given that he's playing for us, he gets far more opportunity to show his ability, his defensive skills, his determination, his bravery, and, you know, and his all-round ability playing for Brighton than he would do at a club further up the table with obviously, you know, more accomplished players in the forward positions where he would be, you know, have less pressure on him. He does, he's a fantastic player. And given, you know, given the competition, frankly, I'm astonished. And it's funny because it's always been the same, hasn't it? It's the same with Matt Le Tissier. I mean, you can start to draw parallels now between Dunk and Le Tissier, because both of them had the opportunity to play, you know, for what would be seen as a much bigger club. And they both turned it down. I thought Dunk was going to go, to be honest. I really did. I thought, finally, you know, he's going to go, because obviously we just got Ben White back. And I thought part of the reason that White hadn't gone to Leeds was because Potter was thinking that Dunk might go. But I'm overjoyed that he stayed. It's absolutely brilliant. And to have Ben White and Lewis Dunk playing together in defence, it's just going to be fantastic. I mean,
this is the bizarre thing that I think so many people are overlooking is that Ben White has still never played a first team game in the Premier League. So, I mean, as much as he's had a really good season, and let's face it, if anyone's going to overhype him, it's going to be Leeds United. He's had a really good season at the top of the Championship, which is what Lewis Dunk did, and he made the step up. Do we know that Ben White can do it? The answer is probably, but we don't know definitely. Ben White's going to knock Adam Webster out of the way first, and I think that Adam Webster actually had a very good return, you know, during Project Restart, actually had his game came on leaps and bounds.
Well, I mean, or are we going to see them all three of them? Are we going to see a back four? Well, of course, because we got this Dutchman as well, haven't we? So good. I mean, we've got a lot of defensive options, but then that's always the problem. Is never with us. The problem has never been the defensive. It's been right at the other end of the field. Finding the right person to stick the ball in the net.
Sorry, go on, Tony.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, you were going to say, Tony?
No, I agree. I wouldn't mind £5 every time I've heard that's great defending from Dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite ludicrous. I mean, I agree with John. He's got plenty of opportunity to show his defensive skills. But boy, oh boy, I think he's one of the most fearless central defenders in the Premier League. Don't often see him turning his back, do we, and ducking. He goes at it.
But do you also see an improvement in his play now he's been made captain? Or do you think that he was just going to be the natural successor anyway?
I think he's a natural. Despite him running, disappearing with half dressed against the Wigan game, and he disappeared onto the East Terrace.
I think he's a natural leader, and it's the absolutely most logical thing in the world for him to become captain. And it's just made him even better. I mean,
do you think it's made him better?
Yeah, I do. I think the responsibility is. Has given him an extra dimension to his game, I think, frankly, I'm really, really pleased and a bit surprised, as I say, that he stayed, but really, really pleased, and you know, all power to his elbow and his legs and every other bit of him that gets in the way of all the shots and everything that.
You know, okay, well, in that case, before we move on, gun to head, then, Tony. Could you compare him with Mark Lawrence? I mean, he's going to be the most sort of logical person you're going to compare him with. Could you compare him with Mark Lawrence just yet?
I think, yeah, he's certainly in that mould. The only difference is I think Mark Lawrence is the only guy, central defender, who used to run forward with both hands at his side and looking as casual as you like, but was really, I mean, what did he go to Liverpool for, Al? John, I can't remember what they paid for him. Was it
It was a lot. It was, I think,
it was a lot of money. And Jimmy Case. And Jimmy Case came our way for specific reasons, which won't be mentioned on this show, apparently.
Well, there's that. But Jimmy Case did get us nearly single-handed to the FA Cup final. So.
Yeah. I remember, I mean, Dunkies are not quite as easy. I mean, I remember Lawrenson just literally, I mean, I think it was Wolves at home. He just ran through the entire opposition and scored. But, I mean, obviously, Dunkies not quite, he's not quite that kind of player, but he's tremendously creative and obviously a big threat in the opposition box. I mean, he's basically a really good all-round central defender.
Well, this is he's played up front. He's played in goal.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was sort of joking last week when we had Paul Camlin on the show. I said it's about time Tug Wilson's record went, and I've since had it sort of like restatted straight back in my face that he's got to stay for at least another sort of 6 or 7 years. But you know, if he's one of those defenders that can carry on until he's sort of 36, 37, then you know he's going to be finally, you know, one of those few players that can cross the 500 plus mark for playing for us. I mean, you know, can you see him sort of now that, because you said, John, that you thought that he was going to go this summer, you thought that was it, do you think this summer was his final opportunity to go?
Well, it does. I mean, it seems logical that, you know, that, I mean, he signed his 5-year contract. It seems logical to me that he is going to stay now. He obviously really likes being in his hometown. Mm-hmm. And he's obviously, you know, made his peace with whatever, you know, opportunities he thinks he might have missed. Because he knows that he will be first choice in every single game. Although, mind you, I think he'd probably be first choice in any team he played for. I'm just really pleased that he stayed. I mean, I'm absolutely, I've become a little bit cynical about the nature of modern football in the sense that most
of the time, really?
You just see people go into where the money is, you know? And it's really refreshing. Because the moment he signed that contract, I immediately thought Matt Letizia. You know, because that was probably the prime example previous of somebody absolutely determined to stay at his hometown. Obviously, Matt was from Jersey, but I mean, it's where Guernsey, wasn't it? But yeah, I mean, so great. Well done, Lewis. I mean, it's lovely for him still to be playing for us. Totally,
absolutely. So you know, I mean, in that sense, then Tony, are you looking forward to? Like I said before, he's got to knock another player out of the way. But now that we've got this sort of triumvirate that people are excited about, in as much as we've got Dunk, we've got Webster, who I think it's fair to say had a fairly wobbly first half of the season, first two-thirds of the season, and Ben White, who may yet have that wobble to come. I mean, it's looking fairly, you know, fairly rosy at the back there, isn't it?
But they seem to pull, you know, you've really got them, Graham's really got them, you know, much more defensively sound and coming out from defence. You know, we were all brought up on the goals and the ball would be kicked forward and go up in the air. You know, even the commentators, even the BBC commentators are picking up that we're playing football from the back. And I think we've got the right people in. The only worry for Lewis Dunk, he mustn't go on holiday to a Greek island, must he? Because that would stop him getting in the squad.
Well, yes, but let's not go too far down that road. No. I mean, moving on, I mean, in terms of, let's talk about the recruitment. Now, you know, right at the end of last season, whenever that was, I think it was about 5 minutes ago, certainly end of July, we captured the services of Adam Lallana, which I think by the sounds of things, you know, seem to put the writing on the wall. I think people are a little bit surprised still at today's news that Aaron Moy has signed for Shanghai SIPG. So let's have your thoughts on what seemed like a very fleeting moment of Moy's tenure here. I mean, it was half a season of a loanee and half season our player. Give us your thoughts on Aaron Moy.
I thought he did well. I mean, when he came in, obviously we'd seen him play for Huddersfield against us and was probably their most threatening player. So, and probably the player who kept Huddersfield in the division that first season. Mm. When he came, I mean, after a bit, I don't think, I remember him not starting off that well. But yeah, after that, he was great. And I mean, but again, I mean, you know, should we say that he was one of a number of players on about the same level, only quite substantially older? I mean, obviously, you've got in different ways with different talents, but sort of in the same level of selection, sort of process. You've obviously got Alzat, You've got Aaron Moy. You've got obviously Dale Stevens, David Proper, and then one or two more that I can't.
You've got McAllister.
Obviously McAllister. Yeah,
I mean, so when feels like playing that way.
We had quite a lot of midfielders, and I could see, you know, in the same way that the Greyhound had his moments, but was ultimately fairly dispensable. Same with Montoya. Yeah. I would say probably it's fairly logical for Moy to go, and I'm sure that. That they got a huge amount of money from China for him, didn't they? So, you know.
I mean, that's probably just something I've completely forgotten, actually, in my opening thing. And it's just that it seems so long ago that, you know, Martin Montoya, and it probably was only about three or four days ago, that he's now gone to Real Betis. And that seems to be sort of like the big point about sort of Tarik Lamptey, about the start that he's made.
Yeah.
You know, because the Greyhound's gone, Montoya's gone. That leaves us, what, one right back now?
Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Have we got one right back? We've got Webster. But
Webster can play right back.
Obviously, we got Byrne on. We got Dan Byrne on the left or centre. This Dutch guy, isn't he a sort of utility right back?
Veldman's a centre back who can play right back. I mean,
So's Webster. Obviously, we've got Lamptey. I mean, I don't know. I mean, would seem to me.
It sounds like we've kind of got a whole bunch of Roman Vancelos, or, you know, upgrades on him, but, you know, sort of jack of several trades here, or several of them.
Yeah, well, it seems like we've made some good signings. I mean, Lamptey's a wonderful signing. I mean, again, pretty amazing that Chelsea let him go. It's like two in the kind of reverse way you'd expect. I mean, I was expecting Dunk to go to Chelsea, and I wasn't expecting Lamptey to come to us, because I did think that, you know, he got such good reviews when he did have his chances at Chelsea that he'll stay. But again, obviously, you know, he wants to play full time. He wants to play in the first team the whole time, and he certainly do that with us because he's excellent. He's really, really good.
Tony, what did you make of the team that, you know, sort of for the last nine games that picked up after, you know, Project Restart kicked in? What did you, you know, because there was a little bit of change around. There was one or two sort of new personnel. Did you notice anything different about the way we were playing? Never mind the results. I mean, you know, winning against Arsenal was great. But Tony, did you recognise anything slightly different?
Yeah, I just think there was a determination. And I think what we forget as Brighton fans is, you know, we've persuaded Dan Ashworth to leave the FA as, you know, director of football. We've got Hope Powell. So that's, you know, if you're coming and looking at Brighton, who's behind the scenes then? That's a fairly impressive cast.
Leaving the acquisition of Paul Barber 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was. I just think they looked like they wanted to play. And all right, we're never going to match the multimillionaires in the Premier League, but, you know, it's 11 against 11, isn't it? And I thought for 1 minute we were going to deny Man City the Premiership title when we started. Oh, no, not us. It's not going to be us.
It was for 1 minute. I think it was 80 seconds.
Yeah. I don't. Used to worry, I think, about Brighton. I don't think we're getting more and more confident, I think, by the way they play. I just, I think they're a credit. They're a credit to the club. Whoever's in the first 11, I think it's just it's part of us. It has to be Brighton over Albion, doesn't it? Mm. It's just great.
We do well against the teams we don't expect to, and do badly against the teams we do want to. You know, but then it was ever thus. I mean, you're saying you were Shelby for the first time in the 60s. I know John was first time in the 60s. I was the first time in the 70s. Probably between us, we've got over 150 years of Albion watching experience. And you know full well that there will come the day when the Albion will let you down just when you don't want them to. And then we'll surprise you with a win. Most recently, let's look at Arsenal. You know, when you're least expecting it, and they send you home, you know, send you away.
To be fair, I mean, in general terms, as I have had to make, obviously after the first season when I'm in the Premier League, where I literally missed one game all season, and obviously given what I do for a living, and the matches were what I used to do for a living until all this started, rather, and the matches were. Where obviously you didn't know until 6 weeks before and when you were going to be playing. Mm. I then, after the second season, had to really start making choices about what I was going to do. And I decided that I was going to prioritise the games, the away game, obviously go to every single home game I could get to, and prioritise the away games where we had a chance, of winning, rather than what I call the procession games. Because although we have had some surprises, you're absolutely right, in the main, we have survived by beating the teams down at the bottom. Obviously, we haven't done still away. We haven't managed to get a point. But, well, we've beaten Arsenal, haven't we, to be fair? But against the other big sides, I mean, it's always been fairly one-sided. Hopefully, that will change. I mean, we gave Liverpool a real scare last time. But yeah, I mean, I'm quite optimistic for the future. I think we've done really well to stay as long as we have. And the only sad thing for me about it is this, you know, I've said it a million times. There's no point in going on about it too much. The lopsided nature of modern football, which means that now there is pretty much assured who is what position every team's going to be in the league. And I still say that when I compare the Albion's, you know, being an Albion fan and watching it now to 79 to 83. When, for instance, we were Liverpool's bogey team and we beat them nearly as often as they beat us. It is more predictable, but it's, you know, but we're doing well. I mean, you know, and at home, you know, with a full stadium, blah, 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 we really are a match for nearly everybody, shall we say.
Well, I think with today's football is that if you have a team that's on their game, you know, one of the top teams that's on their game, we can't hope to compete. And that really showed.
That's right, yeah, yeah.
But if you do have one of those top teams that isn't quite on their game, then they are there for the picking. And I think that once they've got a top team that's playing well, and I'm thinking of Manchester United, who resurrected their season, we didn't stand a chance, even though our record against them since we came up was very good. But we played Arsenal. Every time we played Arsenal, it seems they have some lurch from crisis to crisis, from here to there. And we've picked them off. So I think even then, when a team is only at 90%, they are there for the taking.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, we've done well enough, you know, over the season. I mean, and I do think, I mean, Potter's style is brilliant. And I hope that we can play like that. And I'm, you know, as I say, I've always said again, you know, I've said it a million times. My sort of feeling about the future of the Albion is absolutely fine. We've given everything we went through in the past. We've achieved what we set out to achieve. We're in the Premier League. If we stay in the Premier League, I mean, if we achieve, you know, finishing bit above 16th or whatever, you know, above 17th for the next 10 years or whatever, then that is itself a form of success. If we manage somehow to do better than that, that's absolutely brilliant. And if we get relegated, we'll be playing in what for me is still the most exciting league in the country, maybe the world, in terms of the even nature of it. I obviously, as a Brighton fan, I want us to win, so I want us to stay in the Premier League. But if we do go down, which I think is a possibility at some point, obviously, you know, I'm not going to be particularly unhappy. I'll enjoy the football in the Championship, and with every confidence that we'll come back up. So, you know, it's a win-win situation for me now, really.
Tony, as someone who's had to, you know, we'll get onto this later, but as someone who's had to give up their season tickets for other purposes, you know, do you actually sort of kind of miss going to the Albion, especially now that they're in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think it's a logistics, really, out of getting there. The game's lovely, but I used to get the old double-decker bus from the bottom of Downs Way. Unfortunately, it was the only bus that I'm sure had been in the Blitz. It couldn't get up the hills after the game when it left, and trying to get up the hill to Hollingbury. A milk float came past us one day, so that was a little bit embarrassing. That was great, the travel then in that bus, you know, packed with Albion fans, getting there at getting to the ground at 1:45, and then trying to be stopped going through the wonderful village of Falmer to get to the pub. You know, although we did point out it's a public footpath and we're going to the pub, you know. So that's what I miss. But the logistics of getting there now for me without that bus, well, I reckon hour and a half, 2 hours to get there from Southwick.
Where are you now, sorry?
In Southwick.
You're in Southwick.
Yes, I'll be a bus to the station, which is 40 minutes.
Right.
Then these nice empty trains that run to Falmer.
Yeah.
They look comfortable. You know, I'm surprised people don't go there on the roof, Alan, you know, sitting on, you know, and then coming back, you have to run to that. You have to run down the hill to Falmer Station to try and get that first train back, you know.
Yeah.
My daughter was my taxi, so she's up in Cambridge now. But it'd be wonderful. She used to drop me at With Dean, at the bottom of With Dean Lane there, you know.
Yeah. No, this is the weird thing, is that when the stadium opened, you did wonder what the first time that And I couldn't give you a definitive time, but when did you actually feel that this was his home? Because you went there the first few times, and a lot of the times you were still gawping around, looking at the architecture, looking at the structure, thinking, wow, this is ours. I mean, was there a time when you thought, you know, you've got your own routine now, you've got your own way of getting there, you might have several ways of getting there. Is there a moment when you thought, this is ours now?
Yeah, I think it will always be a wonderful moment. That Sussex by the Sea, you know, when that starts up, you know, I pull people's legs across the country saying, well, we've got our own county song and we've got a county carol. We're miles ahead of everybody. Yeah. You know, we're not into Z cars like Everton. You know,
we have something original. I mean, I know what Toby says about the transport thing. I mean, I have certainly felt that myself, which is. But then I have the alternative because I cycle to the home games and back, which is 10 miles there, 10 miles back. I have the most wonderful time. And the cycle, I mean, it started off a little bit dodgy, but they've got the cycle paths in place now, and it's actually really good. And it's for me, it's a real part of the day when I go to a home match is the cycling and then the beer afterwards. But fortunately, we have really good cycle paths, so I don't have to go on the public highway coming home when I've had too much beer, which is great. Because I can get all the way home without being on the road or the cycle paths, which is good too. So, you know, it's a win-win for me. And yeah, I love cycling to the football. I love it. I absolutely love it.
You're listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com, on DAB, on our podcast, on just about any radio app. If you can't hear us, you're not trying hard enough. My name's Alan Wares, and this show, as ever, is brought to you in association with oldfootballshirts.com, courtesy of brothers Phil and Mark Shelley. We don't have a shirt of the week. Sorry, I just didn't get around to asking Phil. I completely forgot, but there are nearly 110,000 shirts on his online gallery for you to go and peruse. I would like to think that every single Southwark football shirt going back as many years as possible is on there. I haven't actually checked myself, and if they aren't, then there's a few more to be added to it. But thank you very much indeed to Phil Shelley of Old Football Shirts for his sponsorship. Radio Reverb itself is a community radio station, which means that we do not accept advertising. We run solely off grants, off sponsorship, and off donations. And it's the likes of Phil that we rely on for our assistance in keeping the radio station running to pay our bills, our rate, our rents, our licenses, and our training. We also offer training for anyone who wants to actually set up their own radio show. If you want to know more, just go to radioreverb.com. Talking of community stuff, I'm joined by John Bain, Attila the stockbroker, and Tony Kybet of the Sussex FA, who himself is instrumental in setting up Southwick Football Club, brackets 1882 Limited. Before we work out exactly what on earth is going on at Southwick, at Walls Old Barn Way, Tony, give us a bit of background about yourself and how you've got involved with what's going on at Southwick.
Yeah, well, I've been in Sussex football, you know, for over 60 years, and I joined the County FA 16 years ago. And I was delighted to be elected as the FA rep of the FA Council 8 seasons ago. And I just got the call saying, could you give the guys at Southwick a ring? They needed some help. And that was in March of this year. Yeah. So to hear it was my local club, having lived in Southwick now for 40, 45 years, I made the call and here I am.
Why did Southwick need help? Why did that call have to be made?
I believe that, as far as I was made aware, that because of the COVID protocol that came in, public houses had to close. The then owner of the club said, well, that's it, I'm going. And got his keys and said to the council, you can have the lease.
Did we get to the bottom of any reasons why he specifically said he wants to go?
I think he's gone because his their little money spinner was the profits from the licensed premises, the drinking club.
So
can I come in just for a minute there? I mean, yes, I suppose the first point to say about this, and many people, some people listening will know already, is that Southwick, I mean, obviously, you know, living in the bottom end of Southwick, cycling past the ground all the time for more than 20 years in you know, since I moved back in 1991, nearly 30 years now, crikey. You know, the reality is that the ground has obviously been falling into disrepair. And for the last 20 years, effectively, and this is a statement of fact, really. I mean, it's not controversial. It's basically the people that who have had the lease have not been people who are particularly interested in football. They wanted a drinking club. They wanted somewhere that they could make money from the bar, and the football was a kind of an add-on. And this is something which has been common knowledge really locally for a long time, and came to a head obviously, as Tony rightly says, with the with the COVID thing, because at that point, effectively, the raison d'être of the leaseholder, and it's a leaseholder rather than an owner, because obviously it's council property, of the leaseholder having the lease on Southwick Football Club disappeared, because he could no longer sell beer at the bar, so therefore there was no longer any reason for him to have the lease. So the lease was handed back to the council, and at that point, of course, Southwick Football, where Tony comes in. So I'll let Tony go back now and explain the next stage of what happened.
Yes, so, you know, that nowhere to play. Obviously, what saved them from any penalty was obviously the season came to an abrupt end again because of COVID. If we go back to March, we didn't know when it would start again. But of course, once it was null and voided, you know, the records, we had a clear path, if you like, and immediately sought advice from the local authority, Adrian Worthing District Council. Mm-hmm. One of their officers said to me, you might want to contact a local charity called Community Works in Worthing, which I did. I put our case to them. They said, well, we were delighted to help you, and our retired solicitor will give you all the legal advice you require free of charge. Obviously, over the moon at that. And he advised the best way forward to start, if you were to start this football club again, was to, you know, instigate a community interest company. And once you got that going, you would then convert to a community amateur sports club. That's what we've done. We, you know, the liability of the directors does not exceed £1. There are no shares in the company. And the four of us became directors of Southwick 1882 CIC.
So just to clarify, so the person who did have the leasehold on Old Barn Way was also the person who had the affiliation and the registration with the Sussex FA, because obviously Southwick Football Club, one of the oldest clubs in the county, and a many time winner of the Sussex Senior Cup. I've just been looking up, admittedly most recently it was 1968, but still an ongoing winner of the Sussex Senior Cup. So there's an affiliation and an ownership. So you were saying that the person who has the registration with the Sussex FA is also the person who was the leaseholder on Old Barn Way. So has the registration been given up yet?
Yeah, well, what actually happened, he ran a limited company called Southwick FC Limited, and then they traded as Southwick Football Club. So they were the affiliated club to the county FA.
Yeah.
So we can go on to say, obviously, then we must remember that liquidating these companies, this is his second time he's liquidated Southwick Football Club. He's done it in the past, and to his surprise, Southwick were relegated two divisions.
Mm.
And now he's done it again this time, and there are new rules in place now, Alan, regarding the National League system and retaining membership.
Well, can you give us an overview on that then?
Yeah. What happens within the National League system, if a club goes into liquidation rather than the company, If that name is to be retained, then the new people must join that company, but they must guarantee all liabilities that company has, debts, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Having made our own inquiries and got certain information, there was no way the four of us would ever agree to take on the debts of Southwick FC Limited.
So you can't have a form of continuation here.
No, unless we took on the debt and guaranteed that debt.
Sure.
Can I just? It's probably worth just interrupting just for a point here to make one point particularly clear, because I've been Some of you may have seen the social media stuff which is going around, which has been going around on this issue. We have to make an absolute distinction here between the players and the people involved in the football side of it, the trainer, the manager, and the leaseholder running the bar, because that was all he was interested in. So in other words, the people owning the registration of the football club, ironically, had absolutely no interest in the football club as a football club, simply as a place where people bought beer. Sure. As a result of that, obviously, the people who wanted to set up the new club, I mean, because the Southwick Football Club has been kept going in ridiculously difficult circumstances for many, many years by the dedication of the players and the volunteers on the football side, who in the face of complete apathy, and sometimes, you know, literally no interest at all from the leaseholder of their own club, carried on playing football there and did everything they could to keep the club going. So when that was shut, obviously you were left with a load of, they were left in the same situation, only even worse. They were a bunch of people who wanted to play football and wanted to encourage youth to play football and wanted to support football in Southwick, but had nowhere to play. And so they were the people, it was the players and the manager of Southwick Football Club who wanted to set up the CIC. That's correct, isn't it, Tony?
Yes, correct, John,
So basically what you've got there, you've got two completely separate things. You've got the man or men who owned the lease. It's exactly the same as the Archibald. For Brighton fans, it's a very easy way of explaining it is this. You've got us, the fans. Mm-hmm. You've got Stuart Storer and everybody. You've got Steve Gritt. And on the other hand, you've got Archibald and Stanley. And obviously the difference was that we actually loved Brighton over Albion. We wanted Brighton over Albion to continue and they wanted something else. And we're not going to go into any more of that, but we all know what happened. We all know what we did. In exactly the same way, and for anybody to lump in the players and the whole entity of Southwick Football Club and say they are responsible, everyone's responsible for the demise of the club, would be like somebody saying that we, the supporters of Brighton Hove Albion, and Steve Gritt and Stuart Storer and the players were responsible for the demise of Brighton Hove Albion. In other words, there's this quite clear division. You've got a playing staff and a football side who've been enthusiastically wanting to keep the club going forever in the face of a leaseholder who was not interested in football and was allowing the place to be, was allowing the place to go to rack and ruin. The players who have tradesman skills were actually offering to repair the premises, which was falling to bits. And the guy was turning around to them and saying he didn't want that to happen. So you've now got a situation where the players and the manager went to Tony and said, look, you know, well, went to the FA and said, we need help. The FA got in touch with Tony, who's on the FA and from Southwick. So they went to Tony and said, you know, we need help. Tony then took advice, set up the CIC. And then Tony got in touch with me, who have always, I've been going.
You've got nothing to say.
Because when the Albion haven't been playing, I've been going to the Wickers on and off since I was about 7 years old, but not for the last 20 years, because when these people took the club over and were running it down, it was just at the same time as we were starting the battle to save the Albion. And I just looked at it and I thought, oh, crikey, not that as well. And at that point, I just walked away and I've not set foot in Old Barn Way for 20 years, literally deliberately boycotting it. I did watch it occasionally from the bridge over the top, mind you, but that's another story in time. Have you got it clear in your head now what we're talking about?
So moving forward, yes, it makes sense to me, as much as the Southwick of last season, which was playing which division?
Division 1 of the Southern Combination Football League.
Okay, which is tier what? Tier which level?
Tier 6 tier of the 6. National League system. There used to be 7, but they reduced that to tier 6.
Okay, tier 6, so that's tier, is that tier 10 of the entire pyramid, of the national pyramid?
I think you're right without looking at it, yeah.
I'm just comparing, what I'm actually doing, oddly enough, is comparing it to Worthing Football Club, who I go and see when the Albion aren't playing, and they're tier 7, so we're talking 3 tiers below Worthing.
Just go on about this, what had happened. I took advice from senior management of the FA National League system, who said, why don't you apply for a temporary license, get yourself back in the ground, do what you have to do to make it safe, and go from there. And if you could, and that's why we said, oh, it's right. So we requested from ADA that they give us a temporary license.
ADA District Council,
give us a temporary license. We will make the ground safe at our cost. Mm-hmm. And if you deem that in a year's time we seem to be the right people to run a football club, we would obviously then tender for the lease. Mm-hmm. And that's how this whole thing started. We offered to make repairs at our cost. We asked for a schedule of repairs. They weren't forthcoming. And then the gates locked and quite ludicrous. In the first week, Alan, yeah, after the ground was shut, John, they mowed the grass, the council, and seeded the goal mouths. And I thought, this is wacky, and closed the gates.
So from the owners of the ground are Ada and Worthing District Council, correct? Yes. They're not privately owned. They are public. There's a publicly owned ground.
Exactly. Yes. And they allowed, they basically, because the people with the lease had a full repair lease, basically Ada Council for 20 years basically let them carry on with the ground getting worse and worse and worse, and didn't inspect it enough, which is how it's got to the stage it is now. Now, the justification from Ada Council for that is that it was a full repair lease, so the responsibility to repair was that of the leaseholder.
Sure.
But as Tony has just pointed out, about 7 years ago, the guy dissolved his company, started a new one, so the club got relegated, went back to the council and got another lease. So he'd had this lease, he'd let the ground fall into disrepair. He then went back to the council, got another lease, a new lease, and they didn't even bother to come and inspect the ground to make sure that the first lease had been adhered to.
Okay, so there's been mistakes all around here, but let's look at moving forward here.
Absolutely.
Now, with the community interest company that's been set up with Tony, and who else is involved in this? Can you give us some names as to who else is involved in this?
We've got a great football name. Everybody in non-league football in Sussex is Sammy Donnelly.
Right.
He was a manager of 50 years football. He's one of the directors. And alongside him is Tony Bratwick, another 50-year man, and the physio, Tony Deneen, who's been at Southwick 40-plus years.
Okay.
And me. We became the directors of the CIC.
Okay, so with this, the CIC, which was set up in about March, April of this year. So between the end of last season and the beginning of this season, have you, as the CIC, managed to retain the services of, for the most part, the manager and the players of what was Southwick Football Club last season?
Yes, indeed we have. And it's such a credit to them, because you would have thought once we broke the news that we could no longer be in the National League system, we're going to go down into intermediate football. I think they've got 21 of their players who said, you know what, let's give it a go.
So we've County League level players who are actually playing two or three divisions, going to be playing two or three divisions below their expected level. So even though the official affiliation isn't official, you are the de facto Southwick Football Club. So what does it take from here on in for you, A, to be recognised by Sussex FA as being Southwick Football Club, and B, for you to get back to Old Palm Way?
Well, because of the FA rule, which is 2.9.1, we are not permitted to use the name Southwick Football Club, hence the Southwick 1882 CIC.
Okay.
That is affiliated with the Sussex County Football Association, and an application has been made to join the Mid Sussex League. Mm-hmm. And I spoke earlier about the step 6 and 7. There used to be a step 7, which was County 2 and Mid Sussex Premier. They are now known as the feeder leagues, Alan, back into the National League system.
I'm with you.
So if we are successful, whenever the Championship divisions commences, with the Mid-Sussex League, and we have the facility to go into the feeder leagues, we will be back within, so close to the National League system, within two seasons.
Sure. And that in itself will be enough for your affiliation with the Sussex FA?
Yes. Yeah.
If I could just come in again, I mean, the only logical result of the original Southwick FC is that it will cease to exist, because there is one person who owns it. He is currently being chased for massive debts. There's £500,000 worth of, is what they're saying, 500,000
Ouch.
He has got £500,000 worth of debt through non-compliance with his full repair lease over the years that the ground has been left to fall to bits. He owns Southwark FC, so basically they're going to chase him for the debts. I don't think he'll be able to pay it. So then Southwark FC will then cease to exist. So we are the de facto, in moral terms, we are Southwark Football Club, because we are the community, we're the players, we're the management, we're the supporters. There are countless people, myself being one, who would not set foot in the place for all that 20 years while all this nonsense was going on. And as I say, it's an absolute credit to the players of Southwark Football Club, but such is their commitment. Not only do they stick it out while the ground field are bits around them, but now, while we're fighting back to get back into Old Barn Way, they are prepared to play intermediate football on Southwick Rec, right next to where the ground is, you know, so basically playing park football next to their own ground, which is falling to bits and unsafe at the moment.
Are you saying that's what's going to happen? Because I heard Buckingham Park being mentioned. So Tony, where will Southwick? Well, I mean, look, what are you calling yourselves next season? Is it Southwick 1882?
We are affiliated as Southwick 1882 on the FA system.
Okay.
What came up? Because of the Mid-Sussex League where we're playing, we could have gone to Victoria Rec in Portslade.
Okay.
The league would have secured that pitch for us, but if you're local, then you can't park anywhere near there. Yep. Or if we wanted to get, as we're a team in Ada District Council, they think it would be difficult to get a pitch in Brighton and Hove City Council.
Sure.
So we assumed Buckingham Park, because of Southwick Rec and now the leisure centre being shut, there are no public toilets in Southwick Rec. So therefore the council said no football can take place on Southwick Rec because there are no public conveniences. Right. However, when we applied and said what's happening at Southwick Rec, they've agreed that there is a previous toilet facilities available at the other end. And they have said, if Southwick 1882 and the Sunday League Club and the youth clubs agree, the facility can be shared and we will bill you each, you know, equally for cleaning over those premises. So we've now got toilets at Southwick Rec. No changing rooms, obviously, because of the COVID. Everybody's got to come with their kit on. The match officials have got to come with their kit on. There's no showers because of COVID. So we're ready.
So, I've got to be honest with you, I'm not 100% familiar with Southwick Rec. So you're saying it's right next door to Old Barn Way?
Yes.
But is it again, publicly owned open land? So yes. Does that mean that you would have to enclose the area, or is it just, you know, are you going to be watched by one man and his dog? Because what I can't see from this is where the income is going to come from people watching you play.
It's not... At this level, intermediate football, we do not have to barrier off the pitch.
Right.
However, if we were to be promoted one more division, that would be a requirement. However, we would hope that we are back in Old Barn Way. And the whole crunch, Alan, is when this was going on with the officers of Ada District Council, a director of Ada District Council, on the behest of our local MP, who's been very good, said, this guy is going to ring you and this guy will get things done. This director rang me and I said, look, what on earth is going on? He said, look, can I put your mind at rest? Please be assured that this council, it is their number one priority that Southwick Football Club will return to Old Barn Way. We don't know when and we don't know where, but you will return. When I got that phone call, and I was ecstatic, and I immediately rang each of the three directors to say, we've done it. We've got it. Hence, 3 weeks later, they announced, after we had a Zoom meeting, that it would be going for lease tendering. The motorcycle training club will be part of that lease, and whoever gets the lease will have to accommodate the motorcycle training club. And there must be affiliated football to play Old Barn Way. We immediately challenged and said, do you realise by removing Southwick Football Club and putting in affiliated football, any football club affiliated to the local county FA in the United Kingdom could play at Old Barn Way. So we're pleading with you, remove affiliated football and put back Southwick Football Club. That's our battle, Alan.
So your battle is that you have to prove, and we're talking about a minimum of a year, you have to prove that you can actually run this de facto new Southwick Football Club for a year before they'll consider putting you back into Old Barn Way.
No, it's not that at all. It's actually less complicated than that. There are various tenders being put in. I don't think it's fair to put them in the public domain at the moment. But basically we as the CIC have now, I've just actually written a letter to the council just now, which has been approved by Brent Centre. It's on the front page of the Herald this week. There'll be a piece in the Argus on Monday. We've launched Bring Home the Wickers. We've offered once again to make good the ground at our expense. It could even conceivably be that we could be playing intermediate football at Old Barn Way at some point in the next season if things could be put together right. We don't know. We don't know that. But the fact of the matter is, the reason that the players have taken the two-level drop is because they are committed to the future of Southwick football in Southwick, that the community is behind football in Southwick, that football in Southwick is now represented by Southwick 1882 FC, who will be playing on Southwick Rec and obviously at the away grounds, hoping to win the division they're in, to go up, to come back into the pyramid and go back to Old Barn Way. If we'd stopped playing football, it would have put us in a much more difficult position in terms of making that appeal. Now, there is already a huge groundswell of among the football community locally of support, because everybody recognises all you've got to do is go on the train past Southwick Football Club to see what a mess the place has become. Everybody recognises, even people that don't like football, recognise what a mess that has happened.
It's not a nice looking place, it really is.
There's lots of stuff on social media now, there's lots of stuff going up, there's lots of stuff on the paper. We haven't had one single person say anything other than, well done, it's about time something was done about this, good luck. Now, all we've got to do now is persuade the council that we should be taking over the lease of the ground, because we've got the resources, we've got the chairman is Tony, who's a member of the Sussex FA, for God's sake. We've got the credibility, we've got the players, we've got the setup to do it. And all we need to do is persuade the council either that we take over the lease of the ground, or that someone takes over the lease of the ground who has the best interests of Southwick Football Club at heart and allows us to play there.
So anyone listening to this, and a lot of people have been to Southwick anyway. I mean, we used to have the Robert Eaton Memorial Fund games there. I remember giving the linesman some bird one time when a Brighton player clearly whacked the ball out of play. And I said, and Palace player took a throw, and I just yelled, foul throw from the side, and immediately the linesman flagged. So it's good to know how easily dupable linesmen are at Old Barn Way. But I've been there several times. I haven't been like you for a long time. As Paul Rogers used to say, the former Albion skipper, he said it's a bit like playing on the moon on that surface there. But that's by the by. I mean, how long has Southwick Football Club been at Old Barn Way? We're talking decades here, aren't we?
Decades,
do you know a moving in date?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, how far back it is that they've been in Old Barn Way? So if anyone is listening to this, and there are obviously a lot of people who do appreciate their local football, especially when, for instance, even the Albion aren't playing, how do they get on board to support you in your endeavours to bring Southwick a semi-pro football club back to Old Barn Way?
No, not even semi-pro, amateur.
It's amateur. Still at the amateur level, is it? Okay. Yeah. Okay, what do they do in order to help the Southwick 1882 persuade the council to have you back? What can they do to help?
Well, first of all, thanks to John and the social media, we've had some great offers from individuals who want to help. But more importantly, we just want them to, make contact with these officers of Avon Worthing Council who seem to be oblivious to our requests. And people find it extraordinary that we offered to repair that ground at our cost in order to get a temporary licence.
Tony, was it at that £500,000 that John mentioned? Can you give us, are you in a position to give us an idea of the cost as to what's required?
That is what the owner has passed on, it's 500,000, the debt. However, the schedule of repairs, we asked, could we see those? And the council said no, because of litigation between us and the former tenant. So we have an army, and I mean an army of tradesmen who wouldn't be charging the repair costs of a local authority. And it doesn't need knocking down the start. I think the clubhouse needs a new roof and the change rooms need a new roof.
The irony is
we're being accused of running this pub down, and the council are now quoting, we don't meet the ground grading. I have to point out to them that up till March, we had a ground grading issued by the league that is in force until March 2021. So don't tell us that the ground isn't fit for football. Somebody's giving it a ground grading to operate in the National League system. Now it's, this is dangerous, that's dangerous, but where have you been for 25 years? Sure. You've not set foot in the place.
I'll repeat my question in that case, because we're running out of time on the show this week. How do people get involved?
Well, I'll answer that now. basically, quite simple. There's a Southwick Twitter feed, which is putting out all kinds of stuff. That's SFC the Wickers. You'll easily find it on Twitter. And there's lots of stuff on social media, which I'm doing. There'll be appeals going out. The very first thing that's happening, under normal circumstances, I'd say we're doing a real Albion campaign style thing on Sunday. We're having a Bring Home the Wickers sort of socially distanced demonstration featuring players of all ages and the coaches on the big wall, which divides Southwick Rec from Southwick Football Club along that big wall. So it's obviously it's the full length of a football pitch. There's plenty of room for social distancing on normal circumstances. I'll be saying, if you care about the future of football in Southwick, come down, you know, in your hundreds and support us. But obviously, because of this, we just want people to know that it's happening, that we're doing this. There'll be a piece in the Argus about it on Monday. It's the full back page of the Shoreham Herald this week. I don't know whether it's in the other heralds as well, but it's the full back page of the Shoreham Herald this week. We've been retweeted the Bring Home the Wickers campaign.
Gary Stevens,
Dick Shapanik. We've had huge amounts of support. There will be more. Basically, it's going to be a tiny version of the Bring Home the Albion campaign. That is what's going to happen. So anybody out there who is involved in the Bring Home the Albion campaign, then the Bring Home the Wickers campaign is just like that, only much, much more little. Well, I know. I mean, I actually put on the social media earlier on today, playing at the Southwick Rec, which overlooks Southwick Football Club, is like Gillingham without the distance involved. You know? So you're homeless, but your home is actually only a mislaid Michelle Kuiper's goal kick away.
At the very least, John, you're going to need a beer tent at Southwick Rec, aren't you?
Well, I mean, no, we've got. There's plenty of pubs nearby. Now, the whole point about it is, it should be a no-brainer for the council. We have now got an organised community club, which is comprised of willing. I mean, people like me who haven't been going for years now, galvanised to help. The players absolutely determined to support the club by playing a much level of football. Loads of people, you know, a huge youth system backing that up. Loads of goodwill from people in the community, because the Wickers used that, you know, got to the FA Cup first round, you know, got to the fourth qualifying round, played three games against Mason the year they got in the league, you know, played in the Isthmian League for a bit, as well as winning the County League. I mean, it's a club with a big sort of local football history, and there's lots of goodwill. And I mean, on the 19th, whenever the first game is, if it's at home, it's fair to say that in the middle of Southwick Rec, far more people will watch Southwick play than have watched them play at Old Barn Way for the last 20 years, because people just didn't want to go and watch it. I mean, I wouldn't go. I would not put a penny in the pockets of the people that were running the club before. But now once we're a community club, and once Aid and District Council give us the right to go back to Old Barn Way, we've got a thriving future in the way that football should be. I mean, the new way of looking at football is not, you know, four old geezers sort take a football ground and run it their way, and if they want to put some money in and pay players a bit, then they'll get into the, you know, they'll win the league, and if they don't, then they'll go down. What we want now is a community club where everybody involved in the community becomes a member, where everybody has a democratic say in what happens with the club, where there's obviously a huge, you know, big network of youth teams coming into it, and where we're at the centre of the community, which is where Southwick Football Club should always have been for the last 20 years, instead of where it has been, which is gently rotting away, only kept alive by the goodwill and hard work of a bunch of dedicated players and the volunteers, in the face of apathy from the leaseholder who let the ground fall to bits.
Tony, last word from you, mate, before we finish.
Well, yeah, the football inside of the club has been on its knees for years. We now, having taken advice, we believe the only way forward is a community-run football club. So that's where we're at. We need help. It's not just about money. It's about people who want to volunteer. You know, we're looking, Alan, for an assistant referee who's qualified because the league say you've got to have one. So even if there's a qualified ref out there, we need you on a Saturday to help run this football club. Little things like that. Club officers, treasurers, you know, we got 32 managers, coaches and club officials sitting there waiting for this to go. And just, it's about Sussex football. This is a, if the public, we don't get there, if this council have their way and we don't get back to Old Barn Way, there is no option, Alan, there's nowhere to go. This club will die.
You've been listening to the Albion Roar here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM, online at radioreverb.com on DAB and on our podcast. My thanks to John Bain, Attila the Stockbroker, to Tony Kybet of Southwick 1882. We'll be back with you soon. Thanks for listening. Cheers for now.